do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline. Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, and today's guest host.
I have my grandson, Mitchell Shaw, with me today, and just really enjoy having him on this podcast with me. And so, Mitchell, tell me, what's on your mind today that we can talk about?
Today, I've got some thoughts on compensation and wanted to pick your brain on how to attract talent to your startup venture. So, you know, I wanted to kick off by just asking you some things about your experience at MyCrow. I think some entrepreneurs out there probably feel overwhelmed at the thought of trying to put together, a really good team, given that they're going to have to compete with larger firms that have, of course, deeper pockets. So when you were trying to put together your team at MyCrow in the early days, what was your elevator pitch? What did you use to try to attract people who had a lot of good options out there?
Oh, very good questions, Mitchell. So if we think about what it is we're doing, we're starting a new company. And I guess that doesn't matter whether you are a new company or just an existing company trying to attract talent. The first thing is you have to get the potential candidate or employee to like what you're doing. In other words, you have to be able to come up with a good pitch for your strategy of your company. And that's the key. The key is that they have to buy into the strategy that you're trying to implement at your company. And if they do, if you have a good strategy, then and is well articulated, then they're more likely to listen further. So it's really not the compensation to begin with. It's really about who you are, how good of a presenter you are, what kind of ideas that you're going to have to entice them to want to join your venture. So that's the first key, is to have a good sound strategy as you talk to those potential employees.
That's a good point. What kinds of people, are there types of people that you think are better suited for taking that leap early on? How do you find how do you find people that stick out of the crowd and you think, man, these guys would probably be willing to partner with me and get this going?
Yeah, that's good too. So when I started MyCrow back in 78, I was competing against companies like Hewlett Packard and IBM and other large stable companies. And a lot of employees really liked that stability. They liked having that guarantee of that ongoing business and the medical and other benefits that the larger, well established companies offer. But now in 2016, that has changed. In fact, it changed beginning in the late 90s when the .com thing really began to roar. That's when people were wanting to take a chance. They really wanted to get out there and become part of this new evolution. And the millennials, who is another group that you're going to attract, are more likely to want to take a chance than people of my generation, who look more, they're coming out of the war and they're looking for more stability. So today I think you have a much better chance of attracting good people because of the fact that they're more receptive to taking a chance.
Yeah, I know. As someone that's part of that generation, I think you're right. Very interesting. So good to see some of those barriers coming down for entrepreneurs. Kind of getting into your experience in Silicon Valley, given that you were the longest tenured CEO in Silicon Valley, what do you think of some of these benefits that are being offered, in Silicon Valley to the tech sector right now? Things like free lunches, flexible and unlimited vacation time, being able to work from home or remotely or wherever you want, casual dress, those kinds of things. What do you think of those kind of fringe benefits and how they contribute to the culture in Silicon Valley?
Well, again, with the millennials, it's very attractive. I mean, things have changed a lot since I started MyCrow in 78. So I think with the with the new generation, the younger set, they are looking for, you know, maternity leave or paternity leave. They're looking for, you know, some compensation on lunches and other fringes that we frankly didn't offer when we started Mike Krell. So this is a younger generation that we're looking at, and they have different views on free lunches and working from home and that sort of thing. So not all companies offer that, but there's a few, but they really attract the millennials or the younger set who have come up with a different mindset regarding compensation. So it's not just about salary. It's about how well you treat your employees, how they see their ability to grow with the company. They're generally be surrounded by younger people, more of an open forum with regard to the offices, and you know the old days of single offices with closed doors and so forth. That's different now. We have more open areas using partitions to set up workplaces, it's more of an open forum for employees. So, you know, having babysitting and the freedom to come and go different times is attractive to that younger set, to the up and coming entrepreneurs.
Do you think there's any risk to the culture or the work ethic or the culture of the team when you allow for such free and open work hours and fringe benefits? Any words of caution there?
Yes. So you're asking your grandpa, you know, and so a lot of a lot of those listeners are going to probably chuckle when I say, yes, I think there is some risk. I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad, but I think there is some risk when you have it too open, too much freedom. Bad habits creep in, and bad habits are hard to break. I mean, you know, a good habit seems to be easier to break than a bad habit. And, you know, have flexible work hours and working from home, you know, distractions you get from working from home and just too much free this and free that, I think will, in the long run, I think be a disadvantage. Again, depending upon the kind of company that you're planning to run. So I'm an investor in a small software company, and I told him, I says, you know, I don't think having that sort of culture is going to be good for the company. I sit on the board and I do advise them. And I said, be careful, you know, I'll maybe offer a little flexibility and time to work or hours. But I said, be careful about opening the door too wide, because I think in the long run, it's going to hurt you. So as I tell my listeners, it takes, you know, 5 years to see if you really got a company that's solid, and maybe 10 years for you to know if they're going to be sustainable, because you got to get through one product cycle, and a product cycle is about 5 years. So I think that having a too free of a culture could in the long run be deleterious, because as I said, bad habits are hard to break.
No, I think it's good to hear a different voice. So appreciate your candid feedback there. One last question for you, Grandpa. So what do you think maybe a young company ought to think about? What should a team consider when putting together a compensation and benefits package? What are the kinds of things? We've talked a little bit about culture here, but how does the compensation and benefits package contribute to the overall feel and culture and drive of a company?
Well, certainly the salary is the first priority. And you can look on Radford and other websites I think you have to subscribe to them, but you can get some idea of what kind of salaries are being offered for your area where you're operating your company. So make sure your salaries are comparable. In most cases, when you start a company, you have a pretty good idea what employees are looking for and with regard to salary for the different job functions that you're going to have within your company. Then next is vacation. And for example, Texas Instruments offers vacation and sick leave altogether, meaning that they offer you, I don't know, 20, 30 days a year. But that combines it, sick leave with vacation. I thought that's a pretty good idea, because now if you're not sick, you just get to take more vacation. Or if you're sick a lot, or if you have more sickness, then you just reduce your vacation. So they just offer X number of days off, and that's not a bad idea. If I were still running my Corral, I might rethink how we're doing ours by separating when we separated vacation from sick leave. So that I think is a good idea. The other things like bonuses. Again, if your company is young and or start in a startup, you're not going to really have that. That's not going to be something that you should offer your employees. If you have a concept of going public or being acquired as part of the strategy of the company, maybe stock options might be attractive to some people. But as long as you have a good work environment, your salaries are comparable, you have a good benefits package of vacation and sick leave and medical, I think that's the main part. This bonus thing is really, I think, overplayed. I've never seen an employee leave because of his bonus. He always leaves because he has an issue with his supervisor. That seems to be the primary reason why he leaves the company. So again, salary, comparable salaries, decent benefits package of vacation and sick leave, and then a good medical plan. Those are the key items that drive whether or not an employee will join the company and stay. So that's kind of my view. Not bonuses. I think stock options, maybe, again, depending upon the direction of your company.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Grandpa, for answering my questions this afternoon. Really appreciate it. And I think some good advice there. And I've appreciated and enjoyed our conversation today.
Those are wonderful questions, Mitchell. You've asked some good, solid questions, and it's always good to talk to you, and you're a bright guy, and you've got a lot of energy, and I think you're going to do well.
So, all right.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.